Okay, so I'm gonna start off with a little story. Yeah, story time. So I was trying to think of a name for the person in my story, and I looked on babynames.com, and I definitely chose the coolest one I found, which is Floy. And I thought it was so ridiculous that our character is gonna be named Floy. F-L-O-Y, it's a girl's name. See, how cool is that? It's such a sweet name. All right. So this is the example. You guys ready for the example? Everyone? In the front, ready? Okay. So this is the example. You're in chemistry class, out of all classes. And you have this good guy friend in your chemistry class, and this girl, Floy, walks in. Yeah. And she's like, you know that she's been around the block? And she's like flirting with the guy. She's like flirting with the guy friend of yours. And she's not like dressed what you would consider like church appropriate. Okay, so that's, you're in chemistry class. Well, yeah, but you have different standards than school standards, right? Okay, that's all I have to say for now. We'll get back to that part of the story later. Can someone read the passage? Yeah, someone in the front row so that my microphone can maybe hear it. The passage is Matthew 7, 1 through 6. Who's reading it? Abby is? Oh, sweet. I'm going to stand close to you.
Do not judge or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn to tear you to pieces.
Sweet, thank you. Okay, so we're going to start off, and I'm going to define judgment because it's kind of a vague term-ish. I'm going to define it as, one is like judicial judgment, which is kind of what God calls us to. Like, he calls us to be judges sometimes. And that's like, there's like an act that happens. I steal something, I go to jail. Or I get caught, and there's a consequence to that. And that kind of judgment is on me and my actions and what I have done. And then there's the judgment that I think Jesus is talking about in this passage, which is like internal judgment, where I do something and somebody else in their heart is judging me because of what I've done. And so the judgment is on their part, and the responsibility is on them. And so that's kind of defined as like any action, motive, or deed that is affecting the way you treat, love, or respect other people. And so we're going to kind of connect back to what Joe talked about last time, kind of treasures in heaven versus on earth. And judging is a way of turning your eyes away from heaven. It's a way of thinking about what other people are doing and focusing on the world instead of focusing on God, instead of focusing on what God is doing and the good things that God is doing. And that's kind of getting your eyes off the goal of the prize. It's kind of keeping your eyes here and trying to build up something that is not godly. So let's read. We're going to get back to verse 1 and 2. We're going to go into 3, 4, and 5, and then skip around a little bit. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. So when you think of a speck, what do you think of? Like, there's a speck in someone's eye. How do you even notice that? You look in the mirror. When you're looking at someone else's eye. You could consider your mirror someone else. I tend to think of like this searching like thing. Like, you have a speck in your eye? Like, let me search for it. I'm going to find it. I'm going to like dig through your eye. That's a really bad example. All right, bad example. But you have to look for it. You can't just like, it doesn't just like pop out at you like, oh, speck, here I am. especially considering the log that is in your eye. So, first thing I want to point out is a speck is something you have to search for. You're actively looking to find this dirt that is in this other person's life. And Jesus poses the question, why, in 3. He says, why do you look at the speck? And I think it's to exalt ourselves. I think it's to bring glory to ourselves. When we look for someone else's dirt, we are not focusing on our own. We're like, oh, that person over there, well, they have this sin in their life, and I'm focusing on that. You're not looking at yourself and the sin that's in your own life. And that kind of allows you to play this comparative game, like, well, let's compare them and let's compare me, and I'm obviously winning because I'm focusing on their sin. So only once, I think only once we've actively begun to try to work through the sin in our own life and actively remove it, not just acknowledge it like, I have pride, but like actively try to wrestle with it and pray about it and seek God's understanding of that and remove that, can we even begin to help a brother when they are in need about like helping them with their sin, you know? And that's, I think that's the only really humble way to approach any way of helping anyone, is like once you've acknowledged that you yourself are also in this boat of struggling with praying to God while still sinning, you know, and still living this life that is not necessarily worthy of God, you know. So once we are active and knowing that and feeling that and tearing that part of us away and giving that to God, can we only help other people then try to remove the speck that is in their eye. And we're hypocritical when we don't do that, because Christ looks at us, and despite all of our sin, despite everything that we have and all the dirt and the junk, he loves us. He loves us. And to turn around and then not return that is hypocritical. To turn around and point fingers at people is hypocritical, because he died for us and our sins and is not pointing the finger at us, but pointing the finger at himself. And he's the perfect judge who, if you judged Christ by any standard that you could think of, like scandalous clothes, he passes because he doesn't wear scandalous clothes. Like, think of any like worldly judgment you can think of, and he'll pass because like he is perfect. So any like any random awkward maybe he wears bikinis, I haven't seen him, probably not. But like you can think of like any measure or any like way to judge him, and he would pass because he's absolutely perfect. Absolutely perfect. So, you know, so I don't know, like to then go and turn around and say, but this other person, I'm going to judge them, when the perfect one doesn't hold us accountable to what we have done, in the sense of him taking on our sins, seems pretty hypocritical. So now I don't know where I am. Just fine. Okay. So our temptation is to judge Floy. She like walks into this chemistry class. At least my temptation is like, Floy walks into this chemistry class and is like flirting with my guy friend, and I'm like, what's up with that? Don't stumble his walk. You know, you're not wearing the best clothing. No, I'm thinking it. It's in my heart. It's like a good friend of mine. You know? Because, and. Yes.
Are we supposed to be pretending we're a girl that has a guy friend?
No. You can have, like, a guy. You can be a guy who has a guy friend, and this, like, chick is, like, walking in and, like, macking on the guy, and you're like, no. Okay, well, I'm not a guy. I'd hope you care. Thank you, Jordan. Jordan would care about his guy friend being macked on by some girl. All right, so Floyd walks into the room.
I would judge Floyd.
Yeah, so I think I would judge Floyd, too. I'd be like, woman, do not like... I would say that too. like, get out of here. But that would be, but that would be like not, that would be like not giving Jesus' love within me that he commands us to give to other people. Like, I would let my judgment overshadow that, you know. And I'd be like seeking things that are wrong about her. I'd be like, well, she's not, she does not dress well. She's like all slutty and everything, you know. And I obviously like I wore long sleeves, so I'm better. And obviously, and like when I flirt, I don't like flirt. I do like the holy flirt. Like, do you want to pray together later? So obviously I'm still better than Floyd, right? But I think like that's the point, is like we search these like things about them that we don't like and we focus on them. This isn't supposed to be a funny story. But we take these things and we focus on them, and in the end, somehow in our mind, though we don't probably consciously do it, we end up on top. We end up like better than this person somehow. You know, I definitely think of myself as more worthy as anybody when I'm judging them. You know, I never think of them as like, I'm judging you, but we're definitely equal ground right now. Never, ever. It's always like, I'm judging you as I should be, because obviously I'm better. So, moving on from that, let's go on to verse 1 and 2. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, for the same way you will judge others, you'll be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So we talked about earlier how God is the perfect judge, who by the harshest standard used would pass. So I was kind of perplexed by verse 1, because it says, do not judge or you too will be judged. Or in some version it says, so that you will not be judged. And I was really confused by that, because it sounded like I shouldn't be judging others for my own motives so that I will not be judged, which seems kind of selfish, which seems kind of awkward, and I was kind of upset about that first, and I was like, I shouldn't do anything for myself. But the more I thought about it and the more I prayed about it, this kind of reminded me of a few other things. And our society and our church teaches us, well, our church teaches us, our society doesn't teach us this, that we should never, ever think of ourselves ever, and we should never... we shouldn't think of ourselves. We should only think about other people and serving them and serving God. And I think the whole point is that the greatest commandment is love God, and we should be serving God first. But there is this aspect of loving your neighbor as yourself. So there is this aspect of having to understand that God loves us and that we have to love the good that he's made in us, not love the sin that is residing within us, and not loving all the bad things that we do. But understanding that we as a person are made by God, and that there is something to appreciate in that. So do not judge, or you too will be judged. And that also, I don't know, I think that's kind of self-explanatory, and it seems like you could escape God's judgment that way, but the fact is that we all judge, so in that sense we can't. Yet despite all of that, God takes away that gap. Jesus later dies. He's not dead right now because he's speaking. But eventually he gets there. And then he takes the judgment for us, and he takes the wrath. And so there's this measure you use and it will be measured to you type of concept. And it's kind of like what Sophia was talking about, or in her passage, it talked about forgive and you will be forgiven. And even in our Lord's Prayer, it says, forgive us our debts as we are forgiven our debtors. So it's like, the measure you give is the measure you get. If you have forgiven, you'll be forgiven. If you don't judge, you won't be judged. There's this kind of thing that we see throughout the Bible. It's kind of a random tangent, but I kind of wanted to bring it up because it's kind of important. Just kind of to think about, that's kind of the way Jesus talks, is this like give and take type of thing. And kind of what I talked about last time too, there's this, I'm serving God and he gives me. You know, there's this like give and take. I'm doing this for God, and he returns that somehow, despite the fact that it's God and he doesn't have to. So let's move on to verse 6, which is kind of confusing. Jordan and I have spent many hours talking about this verse alone. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them under their feet and tear you to pieces. Sweet imagery. Anyone? Anyone? Tear you to pieces? Kind of like digging in your eye. I'm just saying. I don't know. I always thought that was like a cool verse. Cause I'm like being torn into pieces. It's just like a brutal image. So this kind of stands out. It kind of seems like this awkward verse, like this random verse. It's like swine and dogs. And one person suggested that this means like don't give holy things to women because they're dogs, and don't give jewelry to guys because they're pigs. I don't think that's what it means, but I thought it was kind of funny. All right, I'm done. But the previous verse is all about loving those around you and keeping your heart pure. But I think this is saying, but don't be naive either. So let's talk about Floy some more. So unlike me, you guys have all decided to be nice to Floy. And you have used all of your Jesus love and loved her. And you've been sharing the gospel and greeting her and like inviting her to church. But Floy is like hard at heart. She's not in a place where any of this is affecting her at all. In fact, every time you invite her to church, she like practically slaps you, and you have to like step away because she's about to slap you. And you're just feeling like really down. You're feeling really upset. You're starting to get really, really bitter towards her because you've been doing this for like sophomore and junior year now. She's not macking on your friend anymore because she's like moved on. But you're still like trying and trying to be like Jesus-like. And then there's a point where this verse comes in, and I think what it's talking about is saying you need to watch out. And at one point there might be a decision that you need to back off. And this isn't like, okay, disassociate her, like say I'm not going to be your friend anymore, I'm not going to try anymore, I'm not going to be Jesus-like to you anymore. But it talks about throwing your pearls before swine. And that has a very active connotation to me. That's like, bam. It's not just like, do you want it? Do you want it? It's like, I'm throwing it to you. And so what I kind of think of is like, maybe going to Floy and instead of inviting her to church, just being yourself around her and not actively trying to give her the gospel or like give her the things that Jesus has given to you to usually just give freely. You know, and that might even be money. That might even be services, like doing things that are very active intent to show her the good news of Jesus, to show her the amazingness that is Jesus. And I think that's really, it's really hard concept to think. You mean sometimes Jesus calls us to not do that? And at first that really made me upset because I was thinking, no, we're supposed to just like keep pushing on. But I think Jesus has a point here, obviously, because it's Jesus and he knows the best. So if he says something, he has a point. But this doesn't mean, yeah, I don't think it's really defined like what pearls are, what sacred things are, what holy things are. I think we can assume that there's something about Jesus, that there's something good, because everything good is from God. So it's something relating to that. And some people define it as the gospel. Some people define it as love. But I think it's kind of vague, and I don't feel comfortable personally defining it right now. And so I define it as something good about Jesus and actively doing so. And I think we come to a point where we're so wrapped up in trying to share the gospel or trying to be so good to this person and allow Jesus' love to just overflow into their life, that we're allowing that and their bitterness when they're turning on you and trampling on you and tearing you to pieces, it affects the way we love them. We start to judge them. we start to become bitter towards them. We start to hate serving that aspect of what God is calling us to, you know, to serving him. We don't want to anymore. We're sick of it. We're tired. It affects everything in our lives because our heart is being torn to pieces. And so stepping back sometimes is better for both people because it allows them breathing space. They can't trample on you. And it allows you to be refreshed by God's love and for his love to overflow in other areas of your life and to other people whose hearts are prepared by the Lord to receive the good news. And how do you make that judgment call? Like, how do you judge if Floyd is at this place where you need to maybe take a step back? How do you judge if anybody's at that place? Do you just, like, flip a coin? Oh, it's at that time. Or, like, just because you've had a really bad week, month, year with them, is that good enough to, like, say, oh, yeah, definitely, for sure? I think the answer is actually in what Sophia is going to be talking about next week. Skipping ahead a little bit. The next passage talks about asking and you will receive, seeking and knocking, and the door will be answered to you. And so I think when you go to God humbly and ask him continually, fervently, am I at that place or is it just me? Am I at a place where you are calling me to move on and to actively try to give your love away in other places? Or is it just a hard week? And he will give you that answer. It might not come immediately. You might not get a phone call. But he promises that he will respond. And so if you're asking God and you're knocking at his door, he will respond. And in the same way, if you feel God has called you to do that, Floy, no matter where she is at, if she ever gets a soft heart by the grace of God to follow him, and she is seeking in any way, he will answer. And that is a promise that he gives. And you do not need to worry that because you have stepped out of her life, there is no chance she will ever find God. Because it is not up to you to save anyone. It is only God who can do that saving anyways. So he makes that promise. He makes that promise very clear in the next passage that if you step back, it's fine because anybody who asks and seeks and knocks will receive. So I have some application questions for us, kind of going off of the example of Floy. And Floy is kind of like this awkward random example that I made up, but it speaks to a lot of what I did in high school. It speaks to a lot of examples in my life where I've judged people. And so it just kind of seemed something that, I don't know. So I have a few questions. Do we gossip? Anyone?
Yeah.
All right. I justify it as like warning people. Dude, watch out for Floy. She's been around the block and just watch out. But that's gossiping. I'm taking actively her negative things, motives or actions, like I know for a fact she slept with people. And like I'm taking that and allowing that to affect everything that I'm doing and the way I talk about her and the way that I approach her. Do we put people into categories like skanky or even like shy, lonely, not interested in God, too cool for school? I think sometimes we isolate people because it makes us more comfortable. I think we refuse to help a lot of people because we don't think that they're going to appreciate it. Why would I help Paris Hilton? She's not going to appreciate it. But she needs Jesus just like everyone else does. Do we actively look for people's sin in their lives before even glancing at our own? Do we forget that we also have sin? Tons of it. Logs. Could, like, build a forest with my sin. My examples today are just, like, so random. Okay, so the main point of this passage is Jesus is commanding us to not let people's negative actions and motives affect the way we love them based on the love that he has given to us. I'm going to repeat that. The main point of this passage is Jesus is commanding us to not let people's negative actions or motives affect the way that we freely give out Christ's love that he puts in our hearts. Because he does not let our sin affect the way he loves us because of what he did on the cross. I think that is the main point of this passage. And I think one great example of this is way back in the day, i.e. I think last year, there's an Amish school shooting. Does everyone remember that? This guy just came in and like tore up the place and shot a bunch of girls. Their families went the next day to that murderer and forgave him. And I think that speaks so loudly because they didn't go up to him and pat his back and were like, yeah, we totally, there should be no consequence to that. No. Because that's that other type of judgment I was talking about. That's, you've done something and there's a real consequence to that. But they realize that they are forgiven for their sins and they are loved regardless of their sins and they need to do the same. And they did not let his negative actions affect the way that Christ's love overflowed to them, into his heart. So that's just the example that I kind of want to end with because that like just came up time and time again when I was prepping for this and really touched my heart when I heard that and I think touched a lot of people's heart. It was just like a really good example of how Christ moves. So I'm going to close in prayer. Would you bow your heads? Dear Father, just thank you for this glorious day. Thank you for everything you have done in our hearts, in our lives, to draw us here, to draw us closer to you, to just give us the opportunity to commune together safely and just worship you and just learn what it means to be followers of you, Father. That is such a gift in itself. It is the only gift. Thank you, Father, just for what you've done. And I pray that you teach us what it means to not judge. I pray that you teach us. I just pray that we understand how much you love us so that we can love others in that way as well. I pray that you give us a glimpse of how incredible your forgiveness is for us and how incredible you are so that we have not even the thought of pointing fingers at people or justifying not doing good things for them, Lord. Father, it's a simple prayer, Lord, but I just feel in my heart that, I don't know, Father, you are just so almighty and so good. And I think once we just learn to focus our eyes on you, that this can't even be an issue, Father. And I just pray that you teach us how to do that, to focus on you and the gifts you have given us so that we can give them to others. In your name we pray. Amen.